Hey guys, welcome back to PS I'm Single. It's your girl Trish. Today's episode is Can I Join? We're going to be learning about the swinger lifestyle today, and I have my girl Casey and Limo Lewis. Hey.
Hi.
Hello, hello, hello.
All right, so she is the author of the book In Bed with Strangers. And you're going to, you know, speak about some of your experiences and educate some of our listeners on the actual lifestyle, because I kind of feel like there's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to the swinging lifestyle. I don't even think a lot of people consider it a lifestyle, just to be honest with you. But to start off, can you define what a swinger is?
So I would say a swinger is somebody that's either in an open relationship, has sex with multiple people. Some of them are polyamorous, but you don't have to be.
I think that was going to be my question. Like, what's the difference between being polyamorous and a swinger?
So to me, you can be a swinger if you're just having sex with a bunch of people, but you're not emotionally attached to them or in love with them.
Okay.
Polyamorous, for me personally, you would have to be in love with multiple people.
So it was like an actual relationship with multiple people.
What do you think? Yes, right?
And yes, but that's actually doomed to fail.
You think so?
Guarantee you.
Well, even like, so Lewis is married, right? But he still has relationships with other girls. But it's not really polyamorous because no one's equal to his wife,
correct,
in my opinion.
Correct.
So in a polyamorous situation, everyone is equal. Like, all the women are treated the same.
I would think so. I've never been in a relationship like that, but that's how I would define it. Like sister wives or something like that.
Okay, I get it. So it's like your wife, you're equal, but no one is equal to your wife, Limo Lewis.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, you guys, how long have you guys been together? Can I say together?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, of course.
We met not last New Year's Eve, the one before, so over a year and a half, roughly.
Correct.
A long time.
In the swinger world, yes.
Yes.
Okay, so what made you want to decide to be a swinger?
So I'll go first. I fell into it with an ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
We found an ad on Craigslist for a sex club, and we went one night. Just
on
like
Craigslist?
This is back in the day. This is like 2004-ish, maybe 2005. And he was older, and he was kind of the first guy I ever like had like really good sex with and like enjoyed sex with. He gave me like my first orgasm and everything, and we ended up going to this club, and it was super fascinating because it was completely the opposite of how I was in my regular life. I was
okay.
Always like super shy, embarrassed about my body and like all that stuff. So we go there, and it was just like this free, like wild, uninhibited place.
Okay.
And I totally just got so fascinated with it that we started going like every Saturday night. That's what we did.
Really?
Yep.
What about you, Lewis? How did you get into it?
Well, my experience is much, much different. You know, I was married for 2 years, and I dated my wife for 6 years. So I've always been a very sexual person and very creative and curious. So we ended up going to clubs, and we just watched. You know, it took many years, like 4 or 5 years. So I always caution on the side of, you know, slow and steady because, you know, I was with my wife, and I love my wife dearly, and I would never want to put her in a situation where she felt uncomfortable. There's many roles to be a swinger or someone in a lifestyle. You got to do your, you know, you got to do your homework, and you got to respect each other. Once you lose that respect, you're doomed.
You need really good communication.
Yeah.
I would think you would need really good
communication. I think a lot of people use swinging as a way to, like, save their relationship, but
okay.
It's going to tear you up. Even if it seems really good for, like, a little bit, if you don't have a strong foundation and really good honesty and communication, it's going to tear you apart eventually. So it's not like a way to fix a relationship. It has to be really solid before you start, I would think.
I would think if you don't have a solid foundation, if you go into it shaky, it's just going to remain
exactly.
shaky.
But I want to say something about that. You can go in prepared mentally as much as you can, but every day, every outing, every couple, every guy, every girl you meet, it's always changing.
It's always different.
It's always different. So sometimes you have to adjust on the fly, and then you have to go home and reset and talk. Babe, you know, how was this? How was that? Because if you don't do that, any wall, anything that's strong can have cracks.
And anticipating something in your mind is very different than seeing it like with your eyes. And seeing your partner's reaction to something in front of your own face, like, that could totally surprise you sometimes, you know? Like, you think you're going to be cool with it, and then something happens. And maybe you're cool with, like, the first 10 girls he was with, but number 11, for some reason, like, it really gets to you. You know what I mean? A lot of people, like, if their partner, like, moans too loud, or, like, they have an orgasm that's, like, better than they give them, like, it kind of freaks them out, and it takes a really strong person to be happy for their partner for getting that pleasure and not, like, pissed that someone else is doing it for them.
I mean, there's been situations where, you know, I'm playing with a female and the guy would just lose it. You know, he'll walk out of the room or...
Really?
Or the person...
Yeah, they get super jealous if you do a better job.
What did you bring her there for?
This is what I'm trying to say. You can,
egos are very sensitive in the lifestyle.
Correct. Very sensitive. Very sensitive. And, you know, sometimes, you know, like, if a guy has a bigger penis than you, if a guy knows how to do G-spot stimulation, if a guy knows how to do oral, you got to be very, very confident. And I myself, I've always been a person that, you know, I'm not afraid to test stuff, my relationship or anything that I have. You guys will always want to control, and half the time the problem is the guys, because once you open the door, right, a female is basically, once you open that door and she likes it, you know, you ask for it.
It's hard to shut that door.
Now you want to close that door. You know?
Yeah. And it's impossible to shut it.
It's just tough, you know. It's just tough.
So how long did it take for you to become comfortable with being in the lifestyle?
So I was in it for a couple years with my boyfriend, and then we broke up. Okay. And I was like, okay, this is just something that I did for him. Like, we did it together, and I dropped it. Okay. So I went vanilla for a couple of years, and I just dated, like, regular guys. And it was totally brutal. All the guys sucked. The sex was terrible. I went back to, like, being insecure and too afraid to say what I wanted or what I liked. So I did that for about, like, 2 years maybe. And then one night I went on the site because I remembered we were on it when we were together. And I signed up as a single girl, and I was like, I'm just going to browse around, like, not really do anything. And, of course, like, the minute I had a profile without even pictures or any description, like, was like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know if I could really do this. Because, like, I always had a guy there for, like, protection, and, like, when you have a partner in the lifestyle, like, it's way more fun sometimes because you have, like, the buddy system,
right?
And, like, you can joke about stuff, you have the moral support if something goes bad, like, you have each other. When you're by yourself, and especially as a girl meeting, like, strangers off the internet for sex,
yeah,
it's a little sketchy. So I picked one guy, and I met him, and I was, like, shaking the whole night when we were having, like, a drink at the bar.
Okay.
And I'm telling myself, like, I don't know if I can do this. But he was new to the lifestyle also.
Okay.
And he was so shy and awkward that I was like, all right, like, I could totally handle this. So I was like, this is going to be, like, a really good test. So we had sex, and it was, like, totally terrible. The sex was awful and quick. And I was, like, so disappointed, but I was also so excited that I did it.
Okay.
And I was like, all right. I was like, I passed that test. Now, like, I'm going to take this seriously. So I would say it took me a good 6 months of trial and error.
Damn.
And, like, I actually studied it like you would study, like, any hobby or something.
How? Because, online?
Yeah, because just by meeting people, because there's, like, a whole, like, etiquette and this, like, internal workings of the lifestyle that, like, you don't know about unless you're in it.
Right.
So I had to talk to a lot of people and, like, learn stuff and, like, how to meet the right people and where to meet them so that it's safe and, like, how to read profiles for, like, red flags and stuff. So it took me, like, a good 6 months before I was pretty comfortable.
Okay.
And then it kind of just clicked, and I was like, okay, I got this. And then I kind of went off the deep end, oh, and I was, God, like, totally obsessed with it.
She couldn't stop.
And then I had to reel myself back in, and now I would say, like, for lack of a better word, like, pretty professional.
So are you still on the site?
Absolutely.
You are.
Highly invested.
Okay.
It's the only, I only have sex with lifestyle people. I do not date vanilla guys at all.
Wow.
I haven't in several years.
Listen, there's a lot of things that people don't get to see behind the scenes. And, you know, first, safety, being cautious.
Right.
You know, listen, we don't have to do this. We choose to do this. And it's like playing basketball or baseball, right? You want to get the best people on your team, right?
Right.
And what happens, you look at how a person moves and swings the bat and catches and runs, whatever. But that's the same thing we do.
Okay.
You know, is a person confident? Is a person happy? Is a person sane? Is a person healthy?
He says sane.
Does a person like to play the game? Okay. The baseball, or the basketball, what our game is swinging.
With passion.
I think, that's a very funny pun, by the way. I think, like, a major, you talk about misconceptions, though. I think a lot of people assume that we're just out there, like, fucking anything with a pulse. We are so selective and put so much time and effort into finding the people that we want to have sex with. as a single girl, or even like you, when you post ads, you reject so many people, it's not even funny. Because you want, like, remember, if we're talking about sex as like an activity, or like say you keep it with sports, right? You have like your JV league, your high school, your varsity, your professional. Like, you need people that are in the same class as you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So like your style, your motivations, like your tolerance and exactly. What you expect sex to be is very different for everybody.
And this
so
is,
like we're on the same level, me and Lewis, so it works out perfectly.
Exactly.
Okay. Other people, you're like, you try them and you're like, no, not gonna cut it.
Exactly. And what happens is this is just so people understand out there, you know, because people make this into rocket science. This is like a business.
Okay.
And, yes.
And your partner, the person you're engaging, has to provide something for you.
Right.
And then obviously if they can't step up, then you won't do business with them anymore.
Right. You're
fired. So I hate to be so crude and rude and stuff like that, but you have to really engage the person. And it could be just a conversation, it could be looks, whatever.
Right.
And, you know, that kind of gives you a little gateway to see if the person is, you know, up to standard. But, you know, I've had a lot of sex with a lot of women. Very few women can get me going because I look for something that most guys don't look.
Okay.
Right? So, yeah, okay, you know, the physical is there, but can you draw pretty pictures in my mind? Can you pull me where most people can't pull me? Can you make my heart bounce and you just make me into that wild, crazy animal that I just want to just devour you?
It's like, we're not here just to, like, have sex. We're here for, like, the best possible sexual experience. You know what I mean? It's different.
So you're trying to hit that sexual high, that peak.
That's every time?
And if you think someone's not going to meet that, then you don't even waste your time, because not all sex is better than no sex.
But every time, though?
That's ideal. But you know, like, the situation, so it depends what you're looking for. Like, my standards when I meet someone one-on-one, I'm expecting, like, top-of-the-line connection. When we do, like, group stuff and we invite, like, a bunch of guys, so, like, a gangbang or something, right? You're not going to have...
How many people are in a gangbang? What's the most people you've had?
Well, me, 7. Having a gangbang is, like, hosting, like a really good party. You have to, like, have all the pieces. You don't just invite, like, random people and hope for the best. It takes a lot of work.
I've turned down for one hot date that I put on the site. I turned down 115 guys just to get 4 guys. 115 guys. So I adore her, and I would not, any of the people I know, I would never put them in a situation, or I don't let anybody play with a friend of mine that I don't think deserves it. You know, the site has certs and profiles and pictures and so on.
Right.
A lot of these guys, they come and they get destroyed.
What do you mean?
Guys come with really high egos and then you put them in their place and they leave their tail between their legs.
6-inch cock or 10-inch cock, whatever, stuff like that. Like, she, you know, listen, people say they're freaks, but when you put them on the heat.
Y'all making me nervous because, all right, so you're making me nervous. Mm-hmm. All right, on the site, right?
Yeah.
I sign up. I have a profile, I have a picture, whatever. What's a red flag for you on someone's profile to make you say, listen, no, next?
So between profiles and emails, when people communicate, like, A, we already know we're on here looking for sex, right?
Right.
So, like, that's a given. So I look for people that have kind of just, like, normal profiles, and it's just like, hey, I have, like, a wild side, this is what I'm into. I don't like people that are very demanding up front. Like, they'll email me and be like, will you do this, this, and this to me? And I'm like, no.
Okay.
Because I've never met you, so I can't answer that.
Right.
So guys should always be, like, more geared towards, like, asking what the girl, like, what will pleasure the girl?
Like, what are you into?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of guys on the site think just because I'm on the site, I'm, like, theirs to do whatever they want with. They don't care who I am or what I want. And even, like, going back to the whole gangbang thing, right? To me, there's 2 types of gangbangs.
Okay.
Like, the first one we had, it was more centered around, I was there for the guys kind of a deal.
Okay.
I felt like they were just going to fuck me and, like, do whatever they want and kind of get what they wanted from me. And, like, they wanted me to have to use my safe word and stuff. Okay. You know?
There's a safe word?
You should have one always.
Y'all
in case you
want to
stop stuff.
In every situation?
You should always have one. Not like you ever really need it in all of them.
That goes to when you do a BDSM or any type of play, you should have a safe word. Yeah, people can say no, stop, whatever. But, you know, like someone says purple, you know that, okay, you're taking that person to the limit, whether it's a guy or a girl.
It's not enjoyable anymore.
It's not enjoyable.
Okay.
You know, see, the we're talking about, we like to have fun, but you know, society has so many rules and so many things that we forget to have fun. And there's a lot of people that are married or in relationship, whatever, that they've forgotten the sexual part of them, whatever. And then it just, you know, people like to cheat. People like to hide. Why? You know, I don't have to hide.
Just
I don't have to lie.
About
you know what I'm saying?
So many people in the lifestyle are cheating on their spouses,
yeah.
First of all,
how
which
is
like
possible?
So ironic. That's talk about being greedy.
That's
right?
That's like my wife giving me the checkbook is, baby, you can spend any amount you want. And I'm like, for real? Then when that happens,
right?
You just say, wow. I don't go spend everything. I go, wow. You have the power.
Right.
I have the encouragement, the openness, and whatever to go play as much as I want. And
okay.
And there's been times where I had to cut back. And like I said, I've learned to say, you know what? I go back to a triangle. You know, she's one of my other friend and mother friend, and those are the three females that I enjoy to play with.
Okay.
And because it's just more than sex. But again, yeah, listen, we could talk about a lot of things here.
Does your wife limit you?
No, she's never limited me.
Do you limit her?
No.
Because
no,
she's in the...
God,
she
encourages her.
No.
He's like
the
opposite.
Do you watch her?
I do. We play together. We do, you know, threesomes and, you know, foursomes and stuff like that, whatever. She has a particular style of playing.
Okay.
It's very laid back and chill, stuff like
mellow.
That.
Mellow. I feel like that would be me.
And that's fine. And the one thing on the lifestyle or anything, in any relationship you have, you should never put a person in an uncomfortable situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I've never done that.
Okay.
And, you know, so I'm married now for 15 years.
Yeah.
And we dated for 6 years, you know, 21 years, you know what I mean? And listen, if I don't love my wife, then I don't love anybody. And the reason I can do what I do is because, you know what? There's a lot of people out there that their brain is the size of a pea. And that's for you guys out there. You know what I'm trying to say? So
he talking to y'all.
Yeah, I'm talking to the guys out there because there's a lot of nice females out there that have been ruined. And, you know, I run into these situations, whatever. And then, you know what? It's like anything, you know, when you hurt someone's feelings, when you hurt somebody's heart, stuff like that. And it shouldn't be about that, you know? But my homegirl here, she's just strong. She's just strong.
I see. I'm like, huh?
Wait, so going... I have to finish my thought about the whole gangbang thing.
Oh, yeah, finish the
gangbang.
Okay.
She loves gangbangs.
I want to know about this.
So I always said I would never be that girl to have one. And then, like, after a year with this guy, I'm like, I think I'm ready. Because you always need to, like, at some point... It's like, say, like, you go to the gym, right? And you lift, like, 10-pound weights. Eventually, your body's going to get used to 10-pound weights, and you have to go to 15s, right?
Right.
Or you kind of, like, don't feel it. So it's the same thing with sex. After a long enough time, your body adjusts to stuff. So if it's, like, two guys and it's three guys, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, let's try a gangbang. So the first one, it went well.
Okay.
But I felt like the guys were there for themselves. So afterwards, him and I always go over everything, you know, and discuss and, like, you know, gossip about how the night went. And I said, look, it was super cool, but next time I would like to try it where, like, it's more centered about, like, me.
Okay.
So then the next time he told the guys, listen, like, you have to really make her the center. And now, like, you had, like, seven guys, like, going down on me and pleasuring me and, like, making sure I was getting pleased.
What you wanted. Okay.
And it was, like, a totally different vibe. And it was incredible. So then that's how we geared the rest of them from then on.
Every time we've done something, we've learned from the limo. You know, from setting hot dates, whatever, and picking up a guy here. And
right.
There, I've always learned what could be better.
Okay.
And that's why people forget. You can always do better, whether it's, you know, emotionally, physically, sexually, financially, whatever you want. You can always do better.
Right.
It's that people like to get stuck in this rut.
And,
you know,
and after everything we do together, we always, like, get something to eat, and we talk about everybody, everything that happened. What was your favorite part, your least favorite part? What would you do again? What would you change? And the communication is so great that, like, I completely trust him to plan stuff for me now.
Okay.
Without any of my input. Because we've gone through the like, in the beginning, I had a million questions. I was so stubborn. I fought him on everything. And then he proved that he was looking out for me, and he wasn't trying to do anything bad to me. Even, like, the people he was picking, it used to be really difficult for me to give that control to someone. But after that much time and that much trust with somebody, like, now I get really lazy, and I call him, and I'm like, can you just plan something for me next week, and I'll show up? And he does.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Because sometimes, you know, a guy or girl physically won't be your cup of tea. But I would say that guy... He's a gentleman, he's respectful, and he can perform, right?
You think so?
Oh, my God, let me tell you something. My favorite part...
I would say that to her, and she was like, well, he's not my cup of tea. Or he's
right?
Not.
That's
I said,
what I'm
I said, listen to me. And then she was like, you know why? Well, you know, he's not the guy I would normally fuck,
right.
But he did good damn job.
Let me tell you something.
So that's where the trust goals. You know what I'm trying to say?
I need you as my wingman.
Oh my God, it's great.
But no gangbangs.
I'm so spoiled.
wingman, no gangbangs.
I was going to say something.
My whole thing, you pick the target.
And then it's cool because once you do group stuff, like, then you can sift through and you either invite people back or you just kind of, like, take them out of the Rolodex.
Okay, so for you...
It's like a group interview for us, basically.
For you, is it normally a one and done or are there, like,
I prefer,
people...
if somebody's really good, I want to see you again.
Okay.
I usually have, like Lewis said about, like, the triangle, I have, like, 2 to 3 guys that are ongoing.
Okay.
And that I'm really close with and I trust, and I'll see, like, on a regular basis.
Okay.
Just because for me, being single, if everything is one night stands, I feel kind of trashy after a while.
Okay.
And like you're just giving and giving and not getting anything in return.
Right.
I've been single, like technically single for a few years, probably like 3 or 4 years. But
that's
not
a long time.
I don't really feel single because I have guys like him that like we've technically been in a, sort of a relationship for a year and a half. There's consistency. And there's trust, there's intimacy, like you can cuddle, you can go on like fake dates.
Y'all
you know.
Cuddle?
Yeah.
Really?
We're not supposed to be doing the lifestyle. We're not supposed to be doing it.
Says who?
But.
If you can control
If you're going to do it right.
Okay.
And doing it right is respecting the person and knowing when you're in too deep. See, everybody in the lifestyle, everybody in the vanilla world, everybody wants connection. They want to belong to something, right?
You want companionship.
It's all, exactly, all that stuff, whatever. And what happens? We're, I guess you would say, twisted because we get our kick and eat it too. So I would do anything for this girl.
Okay.
And then it's 2 other women that I would do anything for, okay. And I mean anything.
Besides your wife, or including
no,
your
like,
wife?
Like my wife is the queen.
So you your understand? Wife, my, is,
like,
there's I, no
like me and 2 other girls.
Yeah, there's 2 other girls that. Whatever I can, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I would do for them, whatever. But what happens, again, we're talking about something that is like moonshine. And this is, should not be out there. But if, you know, if we get the forum or the stage to talk about it, we're going to talk about it because her book is a voice for women, is a voice for anybody in the lifestyle, whatever. And it's real. It's a real person. It's not a character. It's not nothing. She had to go through this learning curve of falling in love, you know, breaking up, you know, finding good people, you know, and that's why I'm so, so proud of her because it's a voice for women and people in the lifestyle or anybody that is sexual, anybody that likes to have fun. You know, we forget we're human. And when you forget that, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot. You know what I mean? So, you know, the book is I wish, you know, I always wanted to write a book. But when she wrote that book, you know, and
she wrote it for
yeah,
you.
No, she wrote it for us.
I kind of feel like there's a lot of stories you might be able to tell them.
A lot of it, though, like I will say, like, oh, my friend tells me this or taught me this, and it's mostly him. You know, sometimes his name is there, sometimes it's not, but he's very insightful and very grounded, which is really hard to find. A lot of people get lost in the lifestyle.
Okay.
And, like, I got lost in the beginning. It took me a while. Now I'm grounded, but I wasn't at first. Like, without a doubt, I wasn't. Because it's such a bizarre life to have, you know?
I think it is, compared to what society says is normal. Now, I started reading the book. I'm not finished. I have to finish it. And I feel like I agree with what you said. She's giving a voice to not just people within the lifestyle. I think she's giving a voice to people, to women who are in touch with their sexuality.
Yeah, but like there's a whole part in there that clearly says if you're not a swinger, do this to have better sex, like with your partner. And it talks about a lot of my vanilla life and like how the vanilla guys kind of brought me to end up in the lifestyle and why it's better for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't think... I'm not saying every girl should be in the lifestyle, like, by any means. Most people should not be in it.
Right.
But whether you choose this route or your own vanilla route, like, I think every girl should be powerful and have the sex that she wants and not be ashamed and not be afraid.
What do you consider vanilla?
Like, traditional dating.
Just regular dating.
Yep.
Yeah, like, you meet someone and we're dating and we can't have sex with anybody else or we can't, like, not even sex, about, like, you know, go out. You know,
okay.
Like dancing, you know,
right.
Or go out to the movies, or go out to whatever,
dates.
You know, dates, whatever. Or just know people. It just you're so constricted. And when I married my wife, I said, don't ever put me in a cage, you know, because it's not gonna work.
How long after being married did you guys start?
I was married.
Yeah.
It was like 2 years, but you figure it was 5 or 6 years of just going to the clubs and just watching and.
Before you got married, or
no? After we got
married. So after you got married,
yeah. So we had roughly 8 years in.
Okay.
Yeah. So like, So we have like about seven years, almost 8 years in. I'm very blessed.
Do people know? Do your families know?
No. I mean, they
people probably suspect,
have an
idea. But it's not confirmed.
They have an idea. They kind of have an idea, whatever. But you know, I'm waiting for somebody.
A couple of my girlfriends know, but not many.
Some of these, this is funny. Maybe it's not funny, but some of like these rappers, like, you know, test my gangster. You know, I'm waiting for somebody in my life that's like, "You're a swinger?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm a swinger." And I'm waiting for someone to say, because you can see it in their eyes, like, "Where are you guys going out? Or what are you doing here? Or why is she going over here?" And stuff like that. And I'm waiting somebody just, you know, it's been close, but they can see it because I'm ready. I don't have to hide from anybody.
So it's like an unspoken truth.
But I see it like this. We're coming here, and this is all new to us. Whatever, we're putting our business and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it doesn't really matter, because there's people listening, and we're talking to you, that you are in the same shoes. A little less, a little more. But you know, you want direction, you want guidance, you want understanding. When you read the book, it may be too much, or what? Guess what? It could be too little.
Right.
But guess what? She had the balls to put it
to
on
come
paper
out and, say it, yeah.
And come out. And that's mad respect.
For me, I think the book is kind of cool too. I don't know if I'm biased just because like I'm the one that lived it and wrote it, but I put a lot of like low points that I went through. It's not all like fun and games and like, wow, I have this amazing sex life. There's a lot of like bad things that happen and negative and like struggles and depressing.
Can we speak about like what was one of your worst experiences?
Well, just like personally, just trying to figure out who I was and accepting that this was who I wanted to be.
Okay.
And like hiding it from all my friends and like really being ashamed that I was doing this, and I would lie, you know, I always lie to my friends where I am and who I'm with. And, you know, my friends think I haven't had sex in like years probably because I never talk about guys, because the minute you introduce, or like Lewis came out, I went dancing the other night and he happened to come by and hang out.
Yeah.
And all my friends were like, "Oh my God, who is this guy? Why isn't he your boyfriend?" And this and that. And I'm like, "We're just friends." But they can't drop it. You know what I mean? So it makes it really uncomfortable for me, because now I'm like, I don't know what to say. I can't be like, because he's married and I know his wife because we're swingers. Like, I can't just come out and say that. So then it makes me feel awkward and uncomfortable, because now I feel like I need to be ashamed about myself.
Yeah.
So that was always really hard for me. And like growing up, I was not sexual, like, I didn't have sex when I was 19. I was like terrified of guys and my body and sex.
I lost my virginity at 20.
You know what I mean?
I lost mine at 26.
At 20.
Yeah, so.
You know what I mean?
It was like a whole new world.
You say 19 and 20 like it's bad.
My friends were like 14. Well,
no, I'm just saying.
So,
because
14?
Because people brag at 14, 15,
I mean.
16, 17. I was like,
my
I was
friend 20. 30.
Yo, my friends used to make fun of me for being like the biggest prude in the world.
Too.
And they have no idea what I do now.
Yeah, listen. I'm just saying my, whether it's good or bad, it's 20. Like, I went to see her dancing, whatever. If it was the other way around, she would have came to see me. My friends were like, yo.
Hug me up.
Yo, no, they were like, "You knocking her down?" No, she's hot. She's good, this and this and that, whatever. But she gets, "Why are you not dating this guy?" Or this, you know what I'm saying?
It's a double standard.
Exactly.
That's what I mean.
But we don't like double standards here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the type of person that, like I said, listen, you think you can run? Then I want you right next to my shoulder. I told my wife when I was dating her, Mary, I don't want you behind me. I want you in front of me. I want you right next to me. Because guess what? Sometimes I don't know where the hell I'm going.
Right.
And you're the person I chose to be with. And I got to look at you. And I'm a man. But let me tell you something. If I got to step back and say, "Baby, I'm lost.
You gotta
give me some
to
direction," whatever.
Yeah.
And this is why we have a great friendship, whatever. Because you know what? I'm not annoyed or whatever.
Right.
You know, I can do a lot, but you know what? Sometimes I say, you know what? And that's when you have a friendship. And our friendship is our friendship. And whether it lasts another 10 years or 6 months, in the time that we spent, the time that we already have in the bag, I'll never forget her, and she'll never forget me. And that's all I care, because you know what it is? Life is too short.
Yeah.
And people say it, but maybe one day that person that you love, that you care for, whatever, and it's not gonna be around. Listen, we're swingers, whatever, but we're human beings, and we have feelings and emotions, whatever. And that's one thing that people gotta understand. These guys playing girls out and think you a pimp and you and they whatever. Listen to me, I'm in the street and I hear this shit, stuff like that, whatever. You know what? And when you hurt a woman, you hurt everybody.
Yeah.
You hurt their kids. You hurt Everybody. And that's why these girls out here, they're ruthless. And then I run into them, whatever, and I sit them down, baby. I said, listen, I'm not playing no games with you. This is what I can give you. You understand? It's okay. And this and this and that. And I've told people, like, yo, I'm a swinger. I'm married. And some people just, they run for the hills.
So
and
wait,
they do me a favor.
Are these people that you're meeting in, like, regular everyday life? Like, say you...
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, I work in a situation, you know, I work in an adult store, you know, for 19 years. So I can read people... Everybody's afraid to put their guard down. I put my guard down with this woman, and this woman put their guard down with me, okay. Right? And then I could have taken advantage of her. I could have put her in situations where it got me all excited and got my dick all excited, whatever. And that's not how I roll. That's not me. If you can't get hard, don't stay in the pocket. Move to the side and let the other man do his thing.
Wait, has that been a thing?
Like, oh, my God.
A person couldn't get hard?
You have no idea the percentage of like...
Really? Like, oh,
let
like,
me tell you something.
Out of
for
10.
All the guy, all the single guys out there listening... Stop making promises that your body cannot keep.
Oh,
it's better. Here's the thing. I think I'm a very reasonable girl.
Okay.
But when you come in talking a lot of shit, making promises about how amazing you are, like your track record with never having problems and like you're the best performer, then you need to own up to that. If you come in saying nothing, then there's no bar to be met, right? So now like decent is going to be good because it's natural and it's organic, but guys shoot themselves in the foot all the time because they make these promises and they act so tough and like the shit they say to me.
Hold up, like, hold up. One more thing, guys. Please, if you're listening out there, stop sending cock pictures to your
they
girls.
They are ugly. We okay. Told them.
Listen,
like
listen.
Every
whether she's a swinger or
no one wants girl, them.
It's okay. But stop. Doing that because
no,
it's
your
not
dick is
cool.
Ugly and
well,
it's
and here's
ashy.
The other thing that I would like to add onto that.
This is ashy.
It's
because
ashy.
Here's the thing. I think guys like send them because they're like so impressed that they're big, or whatever. But a big cock does not mean anything. There are so many guys with big dicks that are just a waste
that
of
don't
sex.
Know what to do with it.
So you're just setting yourself up for failure once again.
I wish I had a big cock. I always kid around. I got 3 3/4 all night long like a woodpecker.
Are you serious?
I want to get you.
You got a small penis?
No.
Nah. Damn.
Nah.
But no, like guys think because they're big, it means something. It means absolutely nothing.
No, but you talk, the way he over here talking, I'm thinking he's sitting there with at least 9 to 10 inches.
No. Listen to me. This is the problem. This is
what
the problem.
You working with? Look.
Nah, listen, I'll tell you one thing. I guarantee you.
Would you guarantee?
I guarantee you that if me and you get in the box, things are gonna change.
I'm outside the box. You
well,
can stay
no,
in that box.
No, well, that's what I'm trying to say. Listen, I've seen, and this is not about size. This
I'm just
matter.
Talking
and,
shit.
Yeah, no, but I see, I got you right. I said 3 3/4 all night long.
I'm like, huh?
Yeah, but let me tell you, something. I mean. I'm gonna work you from every angle, and I'm gonna attack you from every angle. So basically, when I'm done with you, it's like you've been in a boxing match. You're like, God, where did this guy come from?
A guy with a big dick is like great if he knows what to do with it. If not, it's just like really annoying.
Listen, you know how many times I've had guys with big cocks, and because they got big cocks, they can't fuck her in the ass. I said, hold up, guys, let me work it. And they're all there standing there against the wall, like, ow. And they're like, yes, go do it. Just do it. Just do it. Help me out, bro. You know, and they're all there. So let's not make this conversation about a body part. It's about the whole person.
Right.
The whole person.
It has to be.
You know
my
I mean?
My so, other big complaint is guys that swear they're into DV and then they show up and then they try to back out of it.
Wait, what's the
double
vaginal?
Well, hold on a second. Hold on
double
a second.
Double vaginal?
Yeah, so I introduced this to
double,
her.
Okay, so double vaginal is when you have two penises inside you?
Yeah.
Two functioning cocks in
so
the vagina.
So I had heard about this for some time when I got in the lifestyle.
Ouch.
And all my threesomes, we attempted it and it never worked and I was very devastated.
Okay.
So I called one of my good friends. He's in the book also. He's my BFF in the book.
Okay.
And I always complained to him about everything. And I was like, listen, I'm really getting tired of these guys that suck. I was like, can you please help me? And he was like, I would definitely be one of the guys. We just need to find someone else.
Okay.
So we're racking our brains and he calls me one day and he's like, I have the guy, which turned out to be Lewis. So that's how we met. Lewis was brought to me specifically to give me my first DV. And then we fell madly in whatever this is.
Yes.
It was no turning back from there.
See, the thing is, I said to him, yo, can you want to try DV? And her eyes kind of looked at me and said, what? Are you out of your mind? And, you know, you try it. Listen, it could have been the other way. Like, no, you're hurting me. It's too much.
It happened
whatever.
So easy. It was just like
and then,
so
and then,
how does it... Okay, one is at the bottom, one is
yeah,
the
so,
front.
But DV no. is a little tricky sometimes because guys either lose their erections because they get too nervous.
Okay.
Or also, even if both guys are hard, right. if they're not the right proportion and, like, just physically, like, they might not be compatible for DV.
Right.
So sometimes you have to switch their positions or they just might not work together. So that can be kind of weird. But that's not their fault, though.
Yeah, but listen. I see your hand and you're trying.
Yeah, I'm like, your penises.
Yeah, right. Okay, well.
Yeah, they're on top of each other. It's fine.
Also,
I'm trying to visualize it.
Right. But this also the possibility that some people have the special talent. They can do double anal, too.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like I'll be walking around with shit all out of my ass.
Listen. Okay, let's talk about this. That's why you have to take a step back. You know, sexuality in America sucks. Straight up suck. You know why?
I don't think it sucks. I think
let me tell you something. You know how many girls complain that they don't get oral sex, but their man likes their cock sucked?
I think good manners says a guy should always go down on a girl before she goes down on him.
No.
You're not warming it up?
Listen, do you think I'll be here if I wasn't in the book? Because she's not paying me for this.
I need you guys to go out and read this damn book because I started reading it and I was just like, wait a minute.
She's not paying me. That's
look,
me in
the
book.
Look, we ain't paying you neither.
Yeah, exactly. So I got time, come on.
Yeah,
right. Well, yeah, listen. What is this? Lychee punch? Shit, I don't drink. I get drunk in a beer.
That's single escape.
You're looking good now.
Shit. I wasn't looking good before.
Yeah.
I thought I was.
Trouble.
Nah, ooh,
no.
I mean,
no, but I didn't know, but now like, I see it in your eyes.
Now he got the bear goggles on. Now he's like, now Trisha, a little bit cute.
Nah, but you know what it is? It's all about having fun. At the end of the day, there's three things you gotta have to do what we do: is fun, respect, and you're dealing with a person.
Right.
And that's all I gotta say. And listen, there's a lot of people out there. Okay, a quick stupid story. One time I met a guy on the site, you know, SLS.
Okay.
And so
what's that?
Swinglifestyle.com, the best site. You know what I mean? And so anyway, but check this out. So he contacts me about a hot date for her, whatever. And I already knew the guy, his track record is not really good, whatever. So he gets into it, whatever. And I said, listen, this is why you eat what you eat. And he goes, I'm one of the best single guys out here eating really good, whatever. But he don't know that I know like about four or five females that has played with him. And obviously I'm not gonna bring him to her because you're gonna get knocked out.
Oh damn.
I tell the guys, like I meet them, you know, and they're searched, whatever. I said, this is a person that is sexual, whatever. You better bring it.
You better bring it.
And some have, and I give them mad respect and stuff like that. But some, and a lot of them,
some are just an embarrassment. But there's a lot of. It's funny because in like within the tri-state area, like we kind of all know of each other if we haven't directly met.
Okay.
It's like 6 degrees of separation. So like if you do something dumb, like everyone's gonna find out eventually, and you can't really pretend you're something that you're not. You know what I mean? Because like word spreads pretty fast.
And yeah, and when you do dumb stuff too.
Yeah.
Like drugs, excessive alcohol. Like I don't drink. I never done no drugs, stuff like that. It's pure. I don't need no alcohol. It's when me and
her nothing we ever do.
Yeah, like we get into it. It's just me and you. And we love discovering new positions. We love, you know, doing different things. Toys. You know, it's just like there's never. That I know, it's never. I never do the same thing over and over.
Okay.
It's the same act, but we change it.
I think the other really important factor is like you need a really good sense of humor because something always goes wrong or something like embarrassing happens. Like you have to be able to laugh when you're having sex.
Exactly.
It should not be like the end of the world.
I don't think laughing during sex is the best thing.
Oh my god, it always happens. Things go in the wrong hole or someone falls off the bed or whatever. Yes. Like you just go with it. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Like you should be having fun.
So I want to ask, what's off limits? What's like an absolute no?
Oh my god, all my limits have been fucking shattered by this one over here.
Because you say DV, I'm like, huh?
All my limits have been broken.
What's off limits for you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Well.
For you, nothing.
Well, I have to really, really feel comfortable with a person. And also, just like I say, like a woman has to prove herself, a guy has to prove himself. And after that, it's there's different layers and different stages of stuff like that.
Okay.
I always say these guys that and girls that come in and high and heavy and they're like, you know, 2,000 miles an hour, whatever, they fall on their face.
Right.
You know, see,
you gotta pace yourself.
Yeah, yeah. The beautiful thing about this, that you add components. It could be an outfit. It could be some shoes. It could be rope. It could be, you know, blindfold. It could be paddles. It could be you know, electric toys. It could be so
blindfold
much.
Is my best friend.
You're exactly. into, wait, electric toys?
Yeah, electric toys. Mm. There's so much. And listen, there's a lot of people here in New York, and you know, and I want to say, you know, Fed Life is another community which is really awesome. There's a lot of wonderful people out there, and I've ventured out there and met people, whatever, and they're just the coolest ass people. Just because we like to have sex, or you like spanking, or you like, you know, whipping, or you like suspension, or you like fire play, or you like knife play, air deprivation, sound deprivation, there's a lot of beautiful people out there, whatever.
I think the other thing to remember too is, like, there's so many levels of being in the lifestyle. Some people only do like soft swap. Some people only watch when they go to clubs.
Okay.
Like, there's no like regulation that says like you have to be on this level or do this to be in it. Okay. It's whatever you're comfortable with. And some people start in baby steps and then like escalate. Some people stay at one level. Like, and you can always revert back. You know what I mean?
So
like,
if
every
I wanted,
day I make up my own mind about like what I'm gonna be like now.
If I wanted to go to, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Just to go to a club to see what the scenery is like.
We'll take you.
Would I be like, but wait, would people be looking at me like, why
no.
aren't you doing anything?
Absolutely not.
Like,
most,
no?
I would say like a good 40 to 50% sometimes are just hanging out watching. Yeah.
Really?
Like, they don't even get undressed.
I feel like they will kick me out the club.
No, absolutely not.
No. There's tons of places, like, you know, this Pendulum, there's, you know, Bowery, there's Checkmates.
Some places you
Decadence.
Have to be.
It's great people and run by great people.
Wait, I thought these were supposed to be like secret things.
You could Google them. I mean, they exist.
You can?
Shit. What was I say? Some places, like, you have to, like, not be fully dressed to go in the actual like sex areas.
Okay.
Other places you can be fully dressed, but like you can always watch people. Like, it happens all the time, and like people start whatever they're comfortable with. Some people, like me and my boyfriend, when we first went, like, we just had sex with each other in public, and it was so exciting. Before
really?
You even get other people
exactly.
involved.
I would be so self-conscious.
See, that's the thing. You would think so, but when you look around and you see who else is there,
yeah.
and you're like, wow, like, that person's older than me, that person's not as fit as me. Like, no one gives a shit what is happening there.
How many chubs is in the club, though?
No, you get everybody.
Let me ask
There's
you a
lot of chubs.
No, hold on.
Not everybody is like a Barbie doll
exactly.
in there.
Exactly. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone to the New Beach?
I've gone to a topless beach before.
No, the New Beach in Sandy Hook, Gunnison Beach.
No.
Well, if you go
it's
there...
the most freeing thing ever.
Yeah, when you go there...
Yeah, but I'm not going to let my hoo-ha hang out.
Listen...
But look, you don't have to do anything that you're not comfortable with. That's the whole point.
Okay.
You can just go because you want to be in a sexy place where, like, other people are doing sexy shit. Like,
yeah.
It's really, like... And then one day, all of a sudden, like... You decide to take it to another level.
Exactly.
But, like, you never have to do anything. And people at clubs are super friendly, usually.
Yeah.
I'm going to a club.
And the people,
yeah, it's fun,
and the people,
you know?
And the people that are
the
pushing.
The people watching is hilarious.
Yeah, the people that are pushing, I always say, no, thank you. Like, if I'm with her or my wife, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you, no, thank you.
Right.
And if they look at me, that means that no, thank you didn't work
just
out.
Just make
so
sure.
So then I will go over there and I will say, listen, she said no, thank you. And then from there, we'll just take it anywhere we got to take it. But
yeah.
for the most part, I never, ever, ever have to get involved because, you know, they're respectful people.
I kind of went through last year, and this is part of the book also.
Okay.
I kind of like, and I'm only 36, but I had like what I like to call like an early midlife crisis.
Okay.
I just kind of lost my mind and my shit for a while. And like, I quit my job and... I was so fed up with everything and felt like I was trying to, like, pretend to be somebody I wasn't, and
okay.
I just wasn't happy. People would always tell me, like, when we talk about lifestyle stuff, either, like, in the lifestyle or my few friends that I did confess to,
okay.
it was like, you should write a book. This is so fascinating. It's, like, it's not just, like, trash. It's, like, actually an interesting story, like,
yeah.
what you deal with. I started seeing, when I had my breakdown, I started seeing a life coach, and... through her, for some reason, she was like, you know, it's really therapeutic to write stuff down. She's like, why don't you start journaling or something?
Okay.
And then I hurt my back, and I was in bed for 2 days, and I was like, let me start writing. And I literally wrote the book, like, the first draft in 2 days, because once I started writing, it just didn't stop.
You couldn't stop.
And there are moments where, like, I was crying when I was writing it, because I was like, I forgot how painful this was, or, like, how important this was.
Yeah.
And when you're sitting there trying to write in words, you want it to sound smart and intelligent and, you know, like, use the exact right word and catch the right moment of,
right.
like, feeling. And I would sit there with, like, the thesaurus and stuff. And, like, there was a couple of moments where like, I wrote something, I was like, holy shit, like, I didn't realize the impact that had on me, or, like, how that affected my future, or, you know, how this one guy, this one moment with him really changed how I saw myself and, like, the power he had over me.
Yeah.
So it was, like, super therapeutic for me. And then I was like, if anybody else can learn something from this, whether you're a swinger or not, like, if you're just a woman, you can learn something from it.
Yeah.
If you're a guy in the lifestyle, you can learn something from it, because yeah. I'm telling you what not to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And even couples also, because there's a whole section about, like, playing with couples and stuff. And everybody in the lifestyle, whether you're a single girl, a couple, or a single guy, your experience is going to be completely different. But people always comment to me in the lifestyle, like, oh, you're so lucky, you're a single girl. And I'm like, am I? Because, like, on the surface, it's great, but there's so much shit that I have to deal with.
Okay.
So I think it opens up their eyes to what it really is to be a single girl in the lifestyle. So I don't know. It kind of just, like, organically happened.
Okay.
And then I wrote it, and I didn't say anything to anyone. It was just, like,
until
great.
Afterwards?
I just wrote it, and then I was like, what do I do with this now? And just as, like, kind of as a joke, I just, like, submitted it to a few places.
Okay.
And nothing happened. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, over it. So I moved on with my life. And then a few months later, someone emailed me, and they're like, oh my God, we read your, I forget what it is that you call it. I didn't send the whole manuscript. You just send, like, a few chapters.
Okay.
And, like, they were like, we're kind of interested in this. This is kind of fascinating. And I was like, what? I forgot that I did this. You know what I mean? And then, like, we started talking, and within 2 months, it was published. And it was just, like, I don't even know how it happened or why it happened.
It just happened fast. When,
and then it came to my house, and, like, I opened the box. They sent me a few copies, and, like, I started crying when I saw it in print, because I couldn't believe that I... People spend years trying to publish something, and I didn't even mean to do this. Like,
right.
And it was just, like, this amazing thing.
Well, I think you're giving a voice to the people in the lifestyle, the women in the lifestyle, in addition to just women in touch with their sexuality.
I hope so. And I hope the fact that, like, it's so honest and raw, and, like, I don't try to make myself seem like this, like, giant hero.
Right.
Like, I have a lot of pitfalls, I have, like, social anxiety. I have a lot of insecurities. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a real person.
You're a regular person. Like,
that's why there's, like, no face on the cover, because it could be any girl.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, like, you might have someone in your family or someone in your office that's a swinger and you don't know, and they're struggling with this.
Yeah.
So it really could be anybody, because we are just your everyday person with this, like, giant secret. Yeah, like, I'm not embarrassed about what I do, but other people make me
right.
feel embarrassed.
Right.
And that's what I hope to change a little bit of.
Okay.
Because, again, like, you never know who's living this life. Like, we don't flaunt it. We don't brag about it. I am the most, like, non-sexual person when I am not in the, like, doing lifestyle stuff. Like, I don't flirt with, I don't pick up guys at bars. I don't have one night stands in the real world. You know, like, I save this for this area. So
it's like a separate.
Yeah, I keep it totally separate. I don't know why. I feel like, to me, and this may sound, like, super crazy, but I feel like if I go to a bar and some guy picks me up, and I go home with him, and then, like, he never calls me again. Like, he kind of feels like he got one over on me.
Yeah, like, he's
like, he
the
picked
man.
Up this girl, he fucked her, he took her home.
Yeah.
If I meet someone on the site, and I'm putting it out there, like, this is what I want from you.
Right.
And then I get it. Now, like, we're equal. I mean, sometimes people still judge you, but they really shouldn't be on the site. But ideally, it's acceptable, because you're equals coming into this. You're stating what you want. They know that you hold the power.
So it's like a no judgment zone.
Yeah, and, like, in the beginning, and I think this is a really important lesson for girls. This is one of the biggest things that I learned about myself. When I first got on the site, and, like, you would meet people for a drink, there's all, like, you can meet people, like, right at the hotel, at their house, get a drink first, you know, like, however you want to set it up.
Okay.
But when I first started, I was really new, and I used to feel like if I met you for a drink, I'm setting the expectation that, yes, I will sleep with you. Even if I'm not really that into you, like, I don't want to waste the time that you set aside to meet me.
Okay.
So I probably fucked a lot of guys that, like, nowadays, I'd be like, yeah, no, not happening.
You want to take it back.
And now, now I have no problem. Like, I even walk out in the middle of sex sometimes. I'm like, dude, this isn't cutting it. Like,
really?
I'm not getting anything from this.
Damn.
So, but that's how you don't become a victim to a guy, right? Like, if you're having sex and it's very one-sided, then, like, I'm not getting, I'm just serving you.
Right.
Right? If I stop and I'm like, listen, dude, like, can we try this instead? And then we can fix it.
Right.
Like, fantastic. But if you try a couple of times and you can tell he really doesn't give a shit about you and he just wants, like, to get off. Like, that does absolutely nothing for me.
So you literally get up,
yeah,
get dressed,
I'm like, dude, listen, like, this just isn't, damn, we're not compatible. But it took me 3 years to get to that point.
Okay.
And now I cut my losses and I'm like, I leave with my head held high and right, all my self-respect.
Yeah.
In the other cases, I would go home and be super upset and devastated and feel like shit the next day because, like, I did something I didn't want to do. And, like, it's not his fault that I let him do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? At some point, like, you have to be accountable
for your own
for
actions,
saying no to somebody.
Yeah.
And the longer you do it, the easier it is. And I feel amazing the next day when I wake up. And I'm like, sucks for him. But, like, I have no regrets because I stood up for myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's also a big part of the lifestyle that people don't think about.
I hope you guys are learning and the girls are learning too, because, man, she just said a mouthful right there.
Right.
Just play it back. If you can't play it back and just listen to
the
that.
The whole mutual pleasure and respect, it gets lost in the lifestyle a lot.
Okay.
People think they're meeting you just to get something from you, but a lot of meetings, like, I meet them for a drink and it doesn't even go past the drink. Like, I decide, I don't think we're compatible.
Right.
I don't get the right vibe from you. I don't think the sex is going to be what I'm looking for. Like, it could be, I don't even know what sets me off. Like, they just say something I don't like, or I don't feel the chemistry. Like, I'm not going to give them, like, your body really, even though I have sex with, like, a ton of people all the time, my body is still really important to me and sacred and means something.
Right.
So, I feel like just because I had sex with 300 people doesn't mean 301 is guaranteed.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to still carefully select who I want to sleep with. And I'm probably one of, like, the most stubborn and selective people on that site. Sometimes it takes 2 years for me to meet people because I'm, like, carefully weighing them and, like, thinking about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then other times I just pick someone and they're what I want, so I take them. But I feel like girls really need to know that you can say no at any point.
Okay.
Just because you got naked doesn't mean you have to stay the whole time.
There we go.
You know what I mean?
All right. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. I really appreciate you guys sharing your story.
I had so much fun.
And I learned a lot, and I know the listeners learned a lot. And I really need you guys to go out and purchase the book,
yes,
In
please.
Bed with Strangers. It is very telling.
Also, if anybody wants to contact me directly, inbedwithstrangers@outlook.com, you can just email me if you want to chat.
Thank you for coming. The takeaway for this episode is, what do you think about the swing lifestyle? Is it something that you would involve yourself in, or is it something that you would stay away from? Write to me and let me know. Thank you.